Robert Avadia, Channel 7 senior reporter, is in Hawaii to cover this story, and he's on the line. Hi, Robert.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good. I put this to you. Why the hell don't people believe Allenby?
Well, I think, generally speaking, the Hollywood version is hard to believe. When people give a version, true or not, that is so fantastic, it's difficult to believe. People will tend to be cynical. I think that's a natural reaction. And to all those people who don't believe Robert Allenby, I do understand that. However, just as a word of caution, it might be worth reminding people of Madeleine Culver, the girl who was the victim of the collar bomber a few years back.
Good point. Great
point.
I
know that most people in the media thought, this is a girl, she's trying to get out of her HSC, she's trying to pull some scam, she wants attention, all the theories in the world, and it turned out the Hollywood version was actually correct. It was some freak who broke into her place, put a fake device around her, threatening to blow her up, and that there were extortion letters. And that was a case where the truth was just as strange as fiction. So people, I think, need to pause for a bit, possibly realise that maybe Robert Allenby's version is correct, and maybe the bits that seem a little bit fantastic are as a result of concussion.
What are you hearing? What more are you hearing, Robert, about this, about the story, about what happened?
Well, there are mixed reports. I mean, I think Allenby's version certainly is a very, very strange one. I mean, to have people who are not only motivated to rob you, but then to also kidnap you, put you in the boot of a car and take you 10 kilometres away, and then be rescued by a homeless woman and then a former military man. It does all seem very, very bizarre. But at the same time, I mean, gut instinct tells me, why would you go to such extraordinary lengths to tell such a tale? If you're robbed, why would you just come out and say I'm robbed? But in terms of the facts, police are trying to go through that themselves at the moment. We've had one version from Robert Allenby. I am told from law enforcement sources here that it could be a degree of confusion simply because of his concussion, which is why maybe some parts of his story are a bit fantastic. But there is no reason for law enforcement to disbelieve his story at the moment.
Has there been a toxicology report, or have there been any tests of Allenby himself? He says he was drugged. Can't remember anything. Have they tested him for drugs?
Well, he believes he was drugged. I don't know if that's a deep-abiding suspicion, because he can't figure out how else he would get into such a circumstance, or whether he has some specific memory of that. But toxicology reports have certainly been done. They haven't come back suggesting definitively one way or the other whether he was drugged or not. But I don't know that Allenby is specifically saying that was the case. I think it's more he is assuming that that could have been the case.
There's also a suggestion that he said the FBI were investigating it, and it turns out they're not. Can you clear that up?
You know what? It's a funny old world. In Honolulu, you really are on island time. The law enforcement shuts up shop just as much as anybody else here. I've heard differing versions from differing sources on whether the FBI is involved or not. Allenby seems to certainly think they are. We made our own checks with the FBI today, and they're suggesting they're not. However, late today, I've also heard from a PGA source that they have been in contact with the FBI, because although this didn't happen across state borders in terms of the kidnapping, which would prompt an FBI response, the fact is it was a PGA star, and the tour itself happens all around the country.
Yeah.
That is an elevated enough circumstance for the FBI to be involved. So that's the long answer of saying, I haven't a clue, to tell you the truth. You hear so many different versions from seemingly credible people, it's difficult to know which one is the correct one. But Robert Allenby certainly is of the belief that the FBI are involved in it.
Rob, I've never been to Hawaii. This section of Waikiki, what's it like? Is it upmarket? Is it a little seedy? Or what's it like?
It's certainly not seedy, and I can tell you it's actually a fairly decent part of town, fairly nondescript. The bar itself, the Amuse wine bar, is a niche sort of wine bar. It involves basically word of mouth more than anything else. It's got a website as well, but it's tucked away. There's no great signage. You wouldn't know it was there unless somebody had told you about it. So a fairly upmarket winery. It's next to a furniture store, believe it or not. And as I say, no great signage either. So it's a fairly well-to-do area, and certainly a well-to-do clientele.
All right. So what's next, do you think, Rob? What are the questions do we need to get answered here? Or are we just going to have to leave it up to the good graces of the listener?
Well, I think we have to leave it up to the good graces of the police. They've got their law enforcement capability. They can check off Robert Allenby's story with people that he claims rescued him and helped him. That is the former military man. There is, from what I understand, even a contact detail for the homeless woman as well. Now,
right.
Again, whether this is correct, this is all from Robert Allenby, or whether it was as a result of some concussive sort of judgment that he's made, I don't know. But police will just do what they do. They'll look at the security vision, which they already have, which Allenby claims shows him leaving the Amuse wine bar with a group of five men. They will firm up his version with other potential witnesses and then take it from there. So it really is up to law enforcement. I understand why the listeners are sceptical. There's reason to be sceptical when a version is Hollywood, I guess.
Yeah.
However, sometimes that version is accurate and it is true.
Good talking to you, Rob. Thanks very much.